So, Katie, this kind of antipathy you feel towards those five lasses who call themselves the Saturdays. Let's just share with us. Is it just, you know, my heart takes
don't
over?
I like. They're not rock enough for me.
Not rock enough.
No. Or indie.
Rock nor indie, somewhere in between, really. The kind of liberal Democrats of the music world. Maybe. There's a thought. What would we normally actually press at this button when Michelle isn't live with us? We press the Michelle Monroe button. But she's not. She is live. She's there. Exactly. You don't have to press that button. It's all sorted through.
I know. It's amazing when I'm actually in the flesh.
We've just been talking about a hen whose name was Fluffy Bottoms.
Fluffy Ruffle Bum.
Who's that?
So it's somebody who makes their own hen houses. Sometimes we try, Michelle, to actually get the best possible warm up acts for you, but I know you probably never took the stage with Henny Penny Hen Houses in full force. So that's the kind of show we have, really. It's a little bit eclectic. Yeah.
No, I don't collect hens.
No. Well, never mind. Well,
sorry about that.
I didn't know Acton was a place for hens there, surely. Never mind.
And how is everyone this week?
Katie, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Michelle.
Excellent.
Grace Parker, how are you? Parker.
I'm lovely, thank you.
Oh, exactly. And...
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. It's nice to see some sunshine, so...
Oh, did you see some?
Yeah, it's been lovely today.
Was officially summer day in Lincoln. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that here.
We'll send it your way.
I blinked. I could have blinked at that time.
Yeah.
But at least, thankfully, it is slightly warming up, is it not?
Yeah. Exactly. So, Michelle, delight have you brought for us this week?
Well, Alex, this week I'm revisiting our most recent release, Matt Uncovered, The Rara Monroe, and to a song my father recorded for a session long thought lost, but amazingly discovered in a cupboard at the BBC just a couple of years ago. Now, the track was recorded on the 24th of September 1958 at the Alien Hall in London with the BBC Radio Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinovich. The track was one of several booked at a session to record several stereo tests, and if broadcast at all, would have only been heard in a small area of London. The song itself comes from a 1941 Betty Davis film called Now Voyager and was written by Kim Gannon and Max Steiner. It was a hit song for Dick Haymes the following year and has since been recorded by everyone from Sinatra to Betty Davis herself. It even once appeared in an episode of Star Trek Voyager. But if so many people like the song enough to record it, it can't be wrong. So which episode of Star Trek Voyager was that featured in then, Michelle? Oh, now, you're being silly. I wasn't going to watch them all.
we'll do that for you. We'll get the thing sorted out, the important thing.
It's interesting because, that was literally recorded in 58, literally as a test recording for stereo, never meant to be released, and in fact never heard of again. And it was only found.
You're actually saying, though, Michelle, that we could have actually panned you all the way around to that sort of side, then all the way around to that other side, and then, you know, we would actually have a stereo side of things.
Well, yes. But I suppose the last thing anybody needs is me in stereo.
We want you in surround sound, Michelle.
Oh,
I've said that for quite some time.
Bless you. Yeah. Yes, it's not the normal Matt Monroe song, as I would call it. But, of course, it wasn't meant for a single.
and is there such a thing as a normal Matt Monro song? But as ever, we need to turn to the team, and we've been joined by ace newscaster and newsreader, effectively today, the anchorman personified, the man who actually brought afternoon delight to a whole new world. Afternoon delight. If you've actually seen the Will Ferrell movie, you'll know what I'm referring to. Ed Wellman.
Hello.
Have you calmed down, Ed, after that?
Hello, Michelle. You know, I'm my heart's still going fast.
He was reading the news tonight.
Oh, were you running?
No. I was sitting at a chair, actually, but my brain was running.
You've hit on something there, Michelle. Running newsreaders. Quite literally, running on the spot whilst they're delivering the news.
Can't be wrong, Alex, can it?
Nicola, what did you make of It Can't Be Wrong?
Oh, it's absolutely lovely. I was thoroughly relaxed here in my chair. So
you may be able to see on webcam, Nicola's currently about to strangle herself with headphones, but it's okay. It's all right, you know? Oh. It's marvellous stuff. As long as microphone technique is there, who cares about the rest of the setup, etc.? Katie, stop fighting over Ed with that microphone. What did you make of It Can't Be Wrong?
Really good.
Yeah, there we are, you see. And not middle of the road, you know, not rocky, not independent, not like the Saturdays. I mean, you know, imagine the Saturdays.
Manufactured.
Yeah, I prefer the Sundays.
See where we're going? We're very good.
Actually, I think they're quite good.
Yeah.
You know, I when we had...
Molly's okay,
girls,
I feel, you know.
We had, you know, they filled a marketplace.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been that many girl bands to come along.
Let's face it, you've had Destiny's Child, and they're American. Clearly the Spice Girls. You had Bananarama prior to that.
Yeah.
And you have the Girls Aloud folk. And you also have team who were from Liverpool, who had Kerry Katona, Atomic Kitten.
Oh, Atomic Kitten.
Yeah,
exactly. And you probably had...
we had a couple more, but they're not long stayers, you see.
Well,
so it'll be interesting to see how long these take. Mind you, they've gone to the States at the moment.
That's probably the end for them.
They launch basically themselves, so we'll see.
Still, never mind.
They haven't got the stamina of Matt Monro.
The Saturdays, how long could they hold their breath collectively underwater? Very good. Oh, we're
you
on
like
the ball
that
today. Oh, this is excellent, you know. I think the scripting is working as seamlessly as ever. Listen, we've got... let's move on to Ed. What did you make of it? Did it chill you down? Did it chill out that whole thing, Matt Monro thing? Because I think all newsrooms should actually have a bit of Matt Monro to wind
It certainly down. Did have that effect.
Good. Yeah. Special news with respect to Richard Moore, because the man responsible for all of these wonderful revivifications and repackaging and a whole range of wonderful things with respect to Matt Monro has decided that because he has twins, he's going to have two birthdays. Explain, please.
Well, unfortunately, Richard's birthday falls the day after his twins, so he never really gets a look in.
Never.
So we've decided that we're going to move the day.
That's right.
And we'll give him a day... that was more suitable for him in the year.
Precisely.
So if anybody has any ideas, do let us know.
I would personally, maybe just, you know, for form's sake, perhaps suggest, you know, top of my head stuff here, admittedly. How about 24th of February?
Yeah.
No, it's too close.
Too close, yeah.
Literally, their birthday was last week.
That's Nicola Clancy's birthday on the 24th of February. Yay!
Ah, well, happy. Well, even more reason than Richard should have a
different birthday. All right, so Ed, when do you think Richard Moore should have his second birthday? What's the thought?
24th of March,
okay.
Very close to Easter, though.
Yeah, it depends. Easter movable feast, you know, could be some years, etc.
But in this case, so is the birthday.
Nice. Katie?
8th of October.
8th of October.
He'd share it with me.
Katie Grimson and Richard Moore.
Oh,
genius. Yes. She's a generous girl.
Yeah. Well, I like that. In fact, I was thinking possibly a date in the summer holidays so that he can be at home and enjoy his birthday.
Okay, Grace?
I will go July.
Yeah, just July.
17th.
July 17th.
Yep. End of term.
July 17th, yeah. Is that your birthday, Grace?
No, my birthday's December 30th. Yeah.
What do you say, Alex?
Well, I mean, as Grace is another Capricorn soul, you know, January the 3rd, clearly, that's what it's all about. You know, Capricorn goats rule, it's bottom line. Whatever. 365 days. Yeah, you say that. I hung into the womb specifically to wait until January the 3rd. You know, originally it was the 24th.
Listen,
I just said, no, I'm not having it on the same day. Just hang on in there a little bit longer.
And I made it 15 minutes after April Fool's Day.
Nice.
which I'm very grateful.
Folk don't realise what embryos go through when they're in the womb in terms of deciding when they're about to emerge.
tell you, it's not good for
it's a whole new experience, really. Anyway, we've gone from chickens to giving birth. It's time to ask you those last two questions. Katie!
Michelle, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us today?
How could I not?
And can we look forward to connecting with you again?
I shall see you on Siren next Wednesday on the Midweek Drive.
I've got an audio treat for you, Michelle. It's my current favourite contemporary artist. It's a young lady called Josephine. Portrait.
We are our society.
Ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
Quite right, too. You see, as if Arthur Weingarten in the first part from upstate New York wasn't enough excitement. And Lord knows we're still recovering in the studio from the Charlie Chaplin responses there. But now, yes, the individual whose name is Annette Andre, just her ace actress personification, is with us. And indeed, on 10thplanetevents.co.uk, which I'm looking at now, we see the opportunity for items to be autographed by Annette. And indeed, all monies raised will actually go to the Alexandra Bastidio Animal Sanctuary. Yes, Annette, today is the day we've launched it. It's there, it's on the website, the campaign will continue throughout March, plus scripts,
right,
etc. We're going to go for broke on this particular area here, so yourself and Arthur on there.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. I did see it on the website, actually, which is great.
Good. Well, Derek's going to be joining us next week to continue the buzz about this whole setup, and we'll continue sort of promoting it throughout our time here. So, yes.
Well, let us know when it is, because we'll listen in.
Well, it'll be around about this sort of time next week, maybe slightly earlier,
okay,
before the news.
Fine.
We like to feel, Annette, actually, you listen in to the whole show, because we provide, you know, we work very hard at this entertainment thing, as opposed to picking out and cherry-picking, really. You know, not, we appreciate that, but you know, we do the whole thing as a holistic experience, really, Annette. But never mind. Anyway, I'm sure Lou Grade, when he was in charge of ITC, would have responded very well to people saying, well, I quite like the title sequence of Randall and Hopkirk deceased, but then after that I just tune out until the end. There's a whole series there, for goodness sakes.
I think they did a lot of that.
Well, we shall continue, regards. Anyway, reminder to yourself and the listener, in the studio we've got Nicola Clancy, we have Grace Parkin, we have Katie Grimerson, and we have Ed Wellman. And now you're going to relate to us what, Annette, for the February Annette Andre official newsletter.
Right. Mm. Well, it's called Eat Your Heart Out, Heinz 57.
Like what we're doing
it's
here.
It's hovering a little on the bazaar. But anyway, let's go on. So eat your heart out, Heinz 57. If only our human capacity for anxiety, fear and loathing was limited to the number of the bean makers' varieties, we'd be home free. But, by current expert reckoning, there are thousands of objects, subjects, and situations, real or imagined, that seize up the hearts and minds of men, women, and children around the world, and they're still counting. I'm not talking about your garden variety worries like war, financial ruin, or deadly diseases. Oh, no, these concerns, major palpitations for most of us, take a seat at the rear of the auditorium compared to an example close to home. A friend of mine recently confessed to becoming almost catatonic at the sight of a teddy bear. Actually, all stuffed cuddlies said so, shuddering and gasping for breath. Ooh, it's those glass eyes, she says, staring with a dead gaze, cold and heartless. To date, after a decade of psychotherapy and other forms of treatment, she's no closer to hugging these denizens of the nursery than I am to tangoing with a cobra. Over the years, we've all known plenty of people with phobias about heights or flying or dogs, but my friend's rather exotic off-the-wall anxiety apparently isn't all that rare. According to a Canadian psychologist who has studied and written extensively about extreme types of phobias, some 6 to 10% of us are afflicted with bizarre fears triggered by everything from ordinary string to Mickey Mouse. And while you'd think that anyone with so specific a fear would be a successful candidate for analysis unearthing the root cause, it seems that about one-third of exotic phobias are resistant to cure. Oh, and to make matters worse, applying common sense logic, for example, thinking that my friend must have been scared witless by a stuffed animal in childhood, yields very few happy endings. Apparently, except for the type of terror resulting from a Great Dane picking you up in its jaws when still teething, specific phobias of the paralyzing variety are most likely not about the surface effect triggering the panic, but something quite different that remains deeply buried in our psyches. How else, then, to fathom why a well-known concert pianist freaks out when confronted by a portion of garden peas on his plate? Garden peas? On an otherwise intelligent and normally behaving woman who transforms into a whirling dervish if she spots a string dangling from a package or a strand of yarn unraveled from a sweater? And what about the university professor who can't swim because of a phobia about drowning, who has an even one about mascots? Walking with his family on a Florida beach, he raced into the ocean fully clothed when he spotted a Mickey Mouse character advertising Disneyland approaching. So apparently there's a pecking order even in our terrors. And just when you thought all hope was lost to these self-afflicted sufferers, up comes an app to the rescue, or so the creators claim. Depending on your particular demon, you stare at pictures of dental drills, snakes, airplanes, Paul Daniels and his ever-vanishing Debbie, and Bob's your uncle, you're cured. Well, while the jury's still out on this one, you'll forgive my doubts that they have an app to vanish the nightly dread I experience of being stabbed in bed if I don't have the covers wrapped snugly about my neck and back. I've worked on the whys and wherefores of this obsession for years, but so far, I'm still watching my back. So, for every balloon, bald head, pigeon, cluster of mushrooms, chins, bowls of fruit, you name it, there's a phobia somewhere with an Edward Munch scream ready to launch. And those who make it their business to answer the unanswerable don't appear to have an answer that cures those of us who live with these seemingly irrational anxieties. Could it be that we're wired from birth to be sensitive to a free-floating general anxiety that has no identity but grinds at us night and day, like the rumbles elephants make to communicate with each other but are too low for humans to hear? If so, do we then invent a specific phobia to fixate on rather than be held hostage to a general reign of terror lurking round every corner? Is it better the devil you know compromise? And while we're on about the fascinating, unfathomable mechanics of our minds, let's not put hallucinations on the short change list. Though I don't mean the kind that's on offer at a disco along with your $10 beer, but the variety Oliver Sacks relates in his latest book called, funnily enough, Hallucinations. Sacks, a British-born, now American neurologist, is famous for his work in examining the weird and wonderful ways our brains work to make real or imagined sense of the world. In his book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, he related case histories of people who suffered strokes and physical injuries to the brain and how that miraculous organ restructured itself to make order out of chaos. Hallucinations comes to that convoluted gray blob squatting between our ears from a different and equally miraculous angle. Sacks gives examples of hallucinations that make sudden and startlingly real appearances to people who are blind, either from birth or have lost their sight in various ways. None of them suffered from any mental disorder that might produce the incredible array of visions they experienced. These men and women, young and old, experience hallucinations that are as detailed and three-dimensional as if they were miraculously given back their sight. From sweeping landscapes of seas, deserts, and mountain ranges to elegant dinner parties accompanied by rich aromas of the foods on the table. These realistic images can last for seconds, hours, and in some cases, reappear over a lifetime. Could it be that the brain is acting out of compassion, attempting to compensate for physical blindness by substituting another type of visual experience? Or are these moving dioramas, unreeled behind sightless eyes, actual memories of things and places the individual has experienced in the past and are presented in a distorted and camouflaged way as often as our dreams are? But whether symbolic or realistic, why is the brain producing images that on the page at least could come away with the top prize at the Sundance Film Festival? And not only why, but how is this magic produced?
Do you know, Annette, for a moment there...
Oliver Stax, in his younger days researching how the brain functions, experienced hallucinations produced by experimental doses of LSD, some run-of-the-mill, others literally mind-blowing. But one, he recounts, I find so extraordinary that it beggars belief. Alone in his house in a remote area of Los Angeles, the effects of the LSD he'd taken hours before had almost vanished. As he brewed a pot of tea, he suddenly heard and felt the thunderous beating of a helicopter hovering over his house. Somehow he knew that his parents, who lived in London, had come to pay him a surprise visit. With the rotors copters still thudding away, he raced into a shower and hurriedly dressed.
Annette, we're going to have to just hold it for the moment there, because we've reached that sort of time. I know it's almost like a cliffhanger in every sense of the word, but I know it's a difficult thing, but you know, we momentarily tried to ensure, I was having a hallucination, I was doing a radio show for a moment. It was difficult, you know. I think we're all together and work through with that. I think you've raised a whole range of interesting points on that particular aspect without even reaching the conclusion, which in its sense is one of those unfinished narratives that we can actually take through.
Right. You know,
lots of thoughtful. I mean, Ed's got his arms folded, which is always a sign, is signifying his folding. Katie, likewise.
Deep thought and contentment, Annette, indeed.
Which, I'm not sure if that's what was intended to be generated by that.
Has anybody there got any sort of bizarre hallucinations?
Well, we kind of went from phobias to hallucinations. Yeah. And that was the thing that was, I mean, you know, Grace, bless her heart, says she doesn't like to be tucked in, you know, so it's not good for that body, possibly because of, you know, previous experiences as a mummification person. You know, it could have been back in ancient Egypt, where being tucked in had a whole different meaning, basically.
But it's, you know, something that is really quite fearsome.
We can work through the whole thing. Nicola, any sort of fears from yourself?
Well, yeah, I do have a fear of stairs with gaps in them. Oh. I cannot stand walking up them. I feel like I'm going to fall through. But with regards to, like, hallucinations, I remember when I was very young, I don't know if I was dreaming or if it was real, but it was like some weird, I, like, sat up in bed and there was this weird, like, ghost-like thing, but there was a... astronaut. I was just like, what on earth is going on? So
yeah, I've just had it with these astronauts who will insist on actually breaking into houses and extraterrestrial abductions. It's not good.
Know. If you're really out there, slow motion.
They do it all the time.
It's just not appropriate for that body. Katie?
I don't really have any phobias, but my house got broken into in Birmingham.
Yes.
And I was... That affected me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a personal violation. I know where you're coming from, that voice. And Ed?
Yes, similarly.
Don't say pianos.
Nothing to do with pianos. No, the house thing is really strange. Our house was broken into as well, and for years afterwards, I thought there was somebody coming downstairs to get us. It was horrible. Yeah,
it's not horrible. Yeah. Anyway, I think there's a whole heap of other things we can actually go on to. So, Annette, we have to ask you those last two questions. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Oh, yes, I always do.
So I take it we can look forward to having...
I hope it's reciprocated.
Listen, at the end of the day, Annette, we would not invite you on the programme if we didn't feel there was an essential part of the programme which was made just that little bit more magical by having an Annette André feature in there. That's the crucial thing on that basis.
Oh, how nice. That's lovely. Thank you.
So, Grace,
well,
the
final... Well, we shall listen in next week.
Very good. Yes, well, that'll be sorted through. We'll have a whole team in the studio as well as the foursome today. We'll also be joined by Stephanie Cox and Nikki Wells, and we've got our radio critic, who's back with us as well, Samantha Viner, who'll be talking about national and international radio shows you can actually listen to.
Right.
Gesundheit, Nicola.
Right.
Gesundheit.
Thank
you. Marvellous. Cameron Tilbury's up next, after Christina Train. Bye-bye, Annette.
Bye-bye. See you again. Bye-bye.
Admittedly, I said in the earlier part of the programme that it was the artist Josephine and Portrait is my current favourite, which it is. But that doesn't mean I've forgotten about Christina Train and Dream of Me, a true classic in its own way. Isn't that right, Cameron Tilbury?
That's right.
Marvellous. Sorted out there. Good news, Cameron, because I was worried that Facebook traffic had been very, very thin on the ground. No mention of Penny Evans and all the usual routines. Nikki Wells wasn't actually commenting, but Phil Leonis has finally said, armed with rock-solid director's notes on today's programme, I'm about to appear on Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive for Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting. Listen along live right now. There we are. That's the Leonis Meister speaking. And not that I wish to hurry you along, Cameron, having moved you into this slightly later slot, but he does like to come in precisely at 6:30, and it'd be 6:35 in any way, shape or form, and we don't want a bleeding heart situation, do we, Cameron?
No, we don't.
No, thank you. So, would you like to go straight into the tune, please?
Yes, I would. This band is from Southern Ontario in Canada. They have been GMA award winners in the past, and they've got a brand new album out called Ready for Rome. They're getting great reception around the world with this song, and I think you're going to like it. This is The Weak Need, and I Know When Your Heart Bleeds on Siren FM.
Worry about the healthcare service. Sometimes they cry, sometimes they bleed. It's not good, you know. If you had NHS in Nashville, you know, you wouldn't have that worry, you know. Anyway, we won't go political. What did the team make of it? Let's start off with Ed Wellman.
Do you know, that kind of takes me back to late 80s, early 90s, actually, the kind of sound.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
I saw Tom Cruise in Rockstar recently. Actually, I did it as a double whammy with Horrible Bosses. Quite extraordinary. That's you know, into a good frame of mind.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the 80s stuff, because Sean Crowley, who fronts the band, was a big fan of The Cure and bands like that.
Katie's favourites, one of them. The Cure, as yet to be covered by The Saturdays, astonishingly enough, but never mind. Katie?
I loved it.
Yeah? There we are. Late again tomorrow, of course. Will you be on the show tomorrow morning, Katie? You're flying back to Birmingham?
No, that's next week. Probably not tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Grace?
Yeah, it's not what we usually hear from you, but it was lovely. Yeah. Okay. Bit of a surprise. I like it.
Nice. the Cameron Tilbury surprise. It's very nice. A bomb surprise, to say. In many ways. And Nicola?
Yes, I thought it reminded me of Linkin Park. But like a slowed version. It was like
another influence. He's a big fan of Linkin Park too.
They've nailed all of those things, Bonnie. Katie, another observation.
I was going to say Linkin Park.
There you are. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Cameron?
I certainly have. Thank you for asking.
Are you back again next week at the usual time, 5 o'clock?
I will be.
Hey, here's one for our Los Angeles listener.
Hi, my name is Stereo Mike.
This is Liquid, ring-a-ding-a-ding-a, and I want those three grand bands.